You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Ugh, fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
You done fell right down that rabbit hole, so reality is questionable. Try, but you just can't let it go. These two right here put on a show. It's paranormal overload with Southern hospitality. Haunted murder, mayhem, tip while discussing immortality. Locations with a dark past, history that comes to life. Hillbillies with a knack for everything that goes bump at night. Overthinking if you're by yourself, these two will have you turning on the lights. Mixing in a little comedy to make sure it all fits in just right, ayy.
Welcome to Hillbilly Horror Stories. Now here's your hosts, Jerry and Tracy Punk, and their dog, Ninja.
And sometimes their cat, Freddy. But never the ferrets.
Hey everyone, this is NFL linebacker Avery Williamson, and you're listening to Hillbilly Horror Stories.
Hey guys, welcome to episode 325 of Hillbilly Horror Stories. I'm Jerry.
And I'm Tracy.
Tracy, like always, we want to start off by thanking all of our military and civil servants of our allied forces all over the world, no matter which country you represent. Thank you for all that you do.
We appreciate you guys so daggone much. Can't tell you enough. We pray for y'all every single day. Thank you for having our backs and so we can sleep at night.
Absolutely. And also, we want to remind people that there's a lot going on in the world right now. It's a lot that people are concerned about, whether it be price of gas, whether it be inflation, whether it be the job market, whatever the situation is, there are a lot of people right now that are struggling for various reasons. And we want you to know that we have a safe place for you. It's the Hillbilly Horror Stories group. If you just want to jump in there, you can even talk to people anonymously now with the new facet that they have where you can post anonymously and you can get some support. You can contact Tracy or myself if you just need to talk to somebody, you need to vent. I know I was speaking to somebody at 11:30 last night and I know they felt better when we were through.
That's good.
It makes me sleep a little bit better knowing we were able to help somebody right before we went to bed. But there's just a lot of things that people need to talk about sometimes, and it could seem minor to some people, but what seems minor to you is major to other people.
Absolutely correct. You can also call the new number. It's 988. You can also text 741-741. But somebody is there for you guys. Just please reach out. You're not a bother. We want to hear from you. We'd love to listen.
Yeah, and it was the same thing that the person I talked to last night. I hate to reach out to people because I feel like that I'm bothering them. Trust me.
Never.
That's your mind playing a trick on you.
Yeah.
Trust me. That's not the way that people see you when you ask to talk.
That's correct.
All right, Tracy, this is the story that we did earlier today at Bobby Mackey. So if you were at that show, you are not our target demographic at the moment. You've already heard this. But it usually comes across a little different when we do it in the studio as opposed to doing it live. So it'll be sound a little bit different. So I wanted to do a bunch of shorter Kentucky stories rather than doing one long story for the live event. So we're going to jump right into it. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
This first story we covered in less detail in one of our bonus episodes last week. But I wanted to revisit it today and give it a little bit deeper scope from what we got last week. Because it's a really cool story, and I thought we really didn't do it justice. And most people didn't hear it, to be honest with you, because it was one of our shorts.
Okay.
All right. This is the John Rowan Monument. Now, John Rowan was one of the most prominent politicians that ever represented the Commonwealth of Kentucky. He was a state judge. He spent 7 terms in legislature. He was a U.S. Senator, a Kentucky Secretary of State, and a Chief Justice of the Court of Appeals.
Dang, he was busy.
Yeah, he did a lot. All this from a man who moved to Kentucky for health reasons.
No kidding.
Yes, but this was when he was very young. You see, he was a sickly child, we'll say. His parents felt that the drier Kentucky air would be better for him, so they moved to Bardstown, Kentucky from Pennsylvania.
I didn't realize we had drier air.
I didn't really think we did either, but apparently we did.
I guess compared to them, maybe so.
Maybe. He would eventually study law in Lexington. He married Anne Lythe in 1794. In 1795, he started construction of his family estate known as Federal Hill. Now, here's a fun fact. Most of you kind of know about this house already, and you probably don't even realize it. And that is because after a visit to this home, John Rowan's cousin, Stephen Foster, was inspired to write My Old Kentucky Home, which was based on the John Rowan house.
Well, how cool is that?
So if you've ever heard the song My Old Kentucky Home, that's the house he was talking about.
Yeah, it's a beautiful song.
John Rowan was a very wealthy and accomplished man at the time of his death on July 13th, 1843. He was interred in the Bardstown Cemetery. But before he died, he made it extremely clear he did not want any type of headstone or marker. And he had a very logical explanation for this. You see, neither of his parents had received a headstone or marker on their graves. Therefore, he felt that it would be disrespectful for him to have one. He came from very humble beginnings.
I mean, I understand that.
And even though he had a lot of money, his parents didn't. And he felt like that they didn't have one, so why should he have one?
Yeah.
He felt that his beautiful home was a monument enough to be left behind.
Well, that's very nice.
Well, his friends and family didn't abide by these wishes.
Oh, please.
They felt that a man of his stature deserved the best. So shortly after his burial, his body was exhumed and moved to the Rowan Family Cemetery, also known as Federal Hill Cemetery. Then a tall obelisk monument was placed on top of his grave. Before the first week had passed, the monument fell over.
Mm-hmm. He disapproved.
He obviously disapproved. So they call in some stonemasons to repair the stone. Well, the masons were surprised that the stone had just fallen over to begin with, but they blamed it on tree roots or settling ground or something. They fixed it, and then they assumed that they would have no issues moving forward. But less than 2 months later, they were back. The obelisk again had fallen over. So you could imagine rumors were starting to swirl around the neighborhood. Several workmen refused to work on the project going forward. The monument was again fixed, only to topple over shortly after, this time right on top of the grave.
Oh, he means business now.
So if you think the Rumors of John Rowan's spirit being involved were swirling before. Now they were running rampant. After all, the stonemasons knew that John Rowan did not want a monument, especially one this elaborate. So they were convinced that John Rowan himself was the one who was toppling the monument. Many obviously refused to work on the stone, therefore cemetery caretakers had to take over the duties of repairing the stone. And supposedly, this is still an issue that they deal with even today.
And get out of here.
So.
He's probably in his grave saying, do you not get it? Do you not understand? Hello?
I would think after like 150 years or so, or whatever it's been, 170 years.
He would just let it go?
Yeah, I'd be like, I'm kind of tired of this. You know.
Well, I'm sure the people are kind of tired of having to fix it all the time.
170-year-old ghost pushing around a heavy stone monument. Hey, I meant to mention this earlier, but after we get through with these stories, I have a really cool interview with Wes Forsythe from Scarefest Radio.
Oh, nice.
Yes, and he talks a little bit about the, because next weekend we will be at Scarefest in Lexington, so I wanted to get him on the week before to talk a little bit about some of the people that are coming out. Of course, Robert Englund's coming there, Lance Henriksen will be there. Love Lance.
Oh, good, good.
But
it'll be fun. I'm looking forward to
it. Yeah, so, but he's going to come on and he tells us some, we talk about the, what we're going to be talking about here in a little bit.
Okay.
We're going to be talking about the Raw Opera House. Ross Opera House, I'm sorry.
I was
going
to say Raw. What kind of name is that?
Well, it's spelled R-O-H-S.
Oh.
But it's Ross is what it is, the Ross Opera House. But we're going to talk about that. And Wes has some insight to there because he lives in Cynthiana where that place is. Oh, so cute. I wanted him to tell me about his time in dealing with the Ross Opera House. And as a matter of fact, this article that I got some of the story from actually mentions, not Wes by name, but his paranormal group back in the day was I Hunt Ghost. That's what the name of the group was. And they mentioned him, and I was like, hey, cool, I'll get Wes on the show.
That's awesome. That worked out well.
Right. All right, so this is the perfect lead-in, which is why I brought it up. But Tracy, obviously, Bobby Mackey's is considered one of the most haunted places in all of Kentucky. It makes lists all over the world as top haunted in the world. In most people's consideration, it is the second most haunted place in Kentucky. What do you think the most haunted place is on these lists? That's easy. Think about
Waverly?
It. Waverly? What do you think number three is? This should be easy.
It should be. Bardstown?
The Ross Opera House.
Oh. I don't do well with easy. My little brain can't handle it.
All right, so the Ross Opera House is in Cynthiana. And Cynthiana is about 20 miles north of where we are in Lexington. The Ross Opera House was built in 1871 and today is the oldest running theater in the Commonwealth of Kentucky.
How come we've never been there?
I don't know. I keep telling everybody we talk to, literally, who is from this state, that talks paranormal, all talks about how haunted the place is, and that's where they get the best stuff. Everybody.
And it's literally 30 minutes from
and
here.
And we've never been there.
Well, that's goofy.
So anyway, it was built in 1871. It's the oldest running theater in Kentucky. They still show movies and plays, and they do a variety of other types of shows. And they do a lot of paranormal investigations. They do a Cynthiana ghost walk and stuff that all is affiliated with all that. So pretty cool. Anyway, here's a fun fact. Cynthiana is the home of Robert Kirkman. Do you know who Robert Kirkman is?
No.
He is the creator of The Walking Dead.
Oh, yeah. I don't watch that, so I would not know that.
They have a big Walking Dead festival there every year in Cynthiana, but there is also a tie-in to the Ross Opera House. See, the back of the Opera House has painted on it the world's largest Walking Dead mural.
Oh, that's
straight
cool.
Straight across the back
I want to see that.
Yes. But back to the Opera House. It was built by Herman A. Ross, spelled R-O-H-S, and his son, Carl. And those of you Walking Dead fans know the name Carl. And yes, that's the same where the Carl came from.
It is?
That's why they decided to use the name Carl.
That's cool.
Herman was born in Cynthiana, but he came from German ancestry. He ran a very successful jewelry company prior to opening the Ross Opera House. Now, Carl was born in 1902, Carl has a famous grandson actor by the name of Chris O'Donnell, who you guys will know from NCIS Los Angeles, Sin of a Woman with Al Pacino, Batman Forever, The Three Musketeers, and a bunch of other stuff. The Ross Opera House is said to be haunted by three or more spirits. The most famous of these is a woman in white.
Figures.
The woman in white has been photographed by many paranormal investigators. Now, paranormal groups such as I Hunt Ghosts, which was Wes's group, captured some audio and video that is seen to show a footage of a man and two children that can be heard giggling throughout the hallways of the auditorium.
Oh, cool.
If that's not enough to creep you out, there is audio footage that is captured of a whistling sound echoing through the theater of an unknown voice that says, "Get out."
Yikes.
Other witnesses have reported seeing full body apparitions, primarily the woman in white. She supposedly is approximately early 40s. She wears a long flowing white dress. Children's voices as well, and adult males' voices have also been heard on numerous occasions. In 2001, the Ross Opera House was featured on an episode of My Ghost Story. A former employee said that she has seen the lady in white a few times, as well as something else that manifests as a mist on the stairs. So
I think mists are cool.
Mists are cool.
Yeah.
All right. That's all we got on mist. The rest is a mystery. But anyway, yeah, so, and we talk a little bit about Ross, like I said, when we get into our interview with Wes in a little bit. So
okay,
you'll hear a little more.
Good.
Tracy, in
what?
Van Leer, Kentucky.
Well, you keep
I will say
my
your name whenever I want to.
Dang it.
I usually say it only at the start of different stories, and since there's three or four stories then. In Van Leer, Kentucky, near Paintsville, is the Coal Miner Museum. Technically, I guess the Van Leer Coal Miner Museum. We're going to go all the way back to the early 1900s. There was a teacher from Pikeville, Kentucky, John Caldwell Calhoun Mayo.
Nice name.
Interesting enough, when he got married, his wife did not take the name Holding the Mayo.
You're funny.
Anyway, Mayo bought the coal rights to several areas of Johnson County.
You said own the Mayo.
He then sold the land to Northern Coal and Coke, K-O-K-E, I mean C-O-K-E, I don't even know what that was, but I don't know if they had part ownership in Coca-Cola or what, but Northern
like
Coal and Coke, which would soon be bought out by Consolidated Coal Company. Now, this company decided to open several coal mines along Miller's Creek, and of course, they needed a town to be able to put their headquarters in, thus the birth of Van Leer in 1912. So they created the town specifically to have a place to put their headquarters in.
Well, that makes a lot of sense.
This happened when a director of the coal company, Van Leer Black, that was his name, gave them money to build 5 miles worth of train track to the new property. So therefore they named the town after him. His name was Van Leer Black. The next year, the office for the Consolidated Coal Company offices were built. And for years, this was the official hub of the entire town. Everything was right there in this area, in this little building.
Well, that makes it convenient.
It would house the director's offices, the post office, the company's doctor's office, and the company store, along with other little businesses and stuff in there. So, yeah, it was like a big building that had a little bit of everything. We know that many of these mining towns eventually dry up, and Van Leer was not going to be any different. By 1946, the company was going broke. So they started to absolve all of their assets, and then they gave the option to all the residents to purchase their homes. So apparently they owned all the homes in that area and were just leasing them to employees or whatever the deal was. So now they gave them the option to purchase those homes. Most of the other buildings in town were torn down, but not the office building. And in 1984, Citizens Bank gave it to the Van Leer Historical Society, who then turned it into the Van Leer Coal Miner Museum. The building was 100 years old at this time. As you would imagine, a building that's that old probably has a few spirits chilling inside.
Yeah, yeah.
Common activity involving apparitions, shadow people, unexplained noises, including footsteps and voices, were reported on a regular basis. In some cases, even direct communication. Some guests say that they've had the feeling of an unseen child sitting on their laps.
Huh. I wonder where that kid comes from.
Yeah. Museum volunteer Tina Webb says that many have had an invisible hand reach out and grab their arm.
Ooh.
Yeah, that would be freaky.
I would love it.
She also has seen a man in the kitchen wearing a ball cap. There's a story of a 2-year-old little girl who wandered off from her parents. She was later found in the library talking to someone that no one could see.
Yeah.
That's spooky.
Yeah. At least she was safe.
All of these events prompted Tina Webb to call paranormal investigators. One was told by a female voice, one of these investigators, to be careful when she was climbing a ladder.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So. Was that a threat?
I don't think so. You remember that time on American Idol when they had the guy from Kentucky on there, and then when he was leaving, he said, y'all be careful. And then they, all the judges, Simon and Paula Abdul and all, thought that maybe he meant that as a threat because they're not used to the terminology in Kentucky when people say, y'all be careful. It's just like saying, take care or whatever.
Sure.
And they were like, I mean, they looked, I remember Simon looked over with this look like, I mean, is he threatening us? And, and then there was like, it was on the news and everything. And then they ended up apologizing or something, or said something on the next show about, we didn't understand that was just a dialect down there. And
yeah.
So anyways. So anyway, according to an article on Teresa's Haunted History of the Tri-State Area, Joe Clark took a photo that shows a man's face. It says, according to the article, that Joe Clark says that the museum is one of the most haunted locations that he's ever investigated. Well, I know Joe Clark. And when I saw this, I actually wrote Joe and said, hey, what are your thoughts of the Van Leer Coal Miners Museum? And he said, first of all, that the article is wrong about the picture. He didn't take the picture of the man's head. There is one, but it belongs to the museum and they've actually got it there.
Okay.
So he did correct that for me. So it does exist, and it's there if you want to see it. But Joe said he's got numerous EVPs, and one paranormal investigator got a necklace ripped off his neck in front of them while they were there. Ooh. That came straight from Joe.
Dang.
When I asked him, I said, what are your thoughts on the Van Leer Coal Miner Museum? And he wrote back, it's very haunted.
That's all he had to say.
So then I started asking, but I mean, yeah. So I mean, all I had to say was, what do you think? He said, it's very haunted.
Oh,
so that would be awesome. A cool place to check out.
Definitely.
All right, Tracy, we've got the last story.
Okay, Jerry. Punk.
There have been 3 incidents of etched ghostly images in windows in the U.S. Obviously, this is a rare occasion. The best known is the lightning portrait of Henry Wells. Have you ever heard of that one?
I feel like I have.
You have, because we actually did a shorts and for Shorts and Giggles, which was a little video thing we did when we first started the podcast, probably 5.5 years ago.
Yeah, don't ask me how I remember that. So,
but nobody watched it, so
It must not have been
anyways
too interesting.
But we actually talked about that on here, and the other one that we're going to talk about, well, I want to talk about this first before we get into, there's a local tie-in because all these are Kentucky stories, but I want to tell you about this one first. It is the best known and it's a cool story. So I won't get into very much detail, but I'll give you the gist of it. This was burned into the upper window of the Carrollton, Alabama courthouse. There's a fascinating story that involved an African-American man in 1878. He was a freed slave who was accused of burning down the original Pickett County Courthouse. And I don't know why it took him so long, but they already had a new one built by the time they arrested him for it. Yeah, that's how long it took.
Oh, dang, that's weird.
So it took all that time. They arrest this guy. The town had no jail, so he was locked in the courthouse, the new courtroom. A mob gathered outside the courthouse wanting to lynch him. You know?
Yeah.
And Wells had vowed that Carrollton would never get rid of him if he was harmed. So on June 29th, 1878.
My birthday?
January 29th. I'm sorry. No, it's not your birthday. January 29th, 1878. He's staring out the window at this mob below. There was a lightning strike out of nowhere. This permanently etched his terrified expression on the window pane.
Now that is crazy. Did they believe him after that?
Well, I don't think really that really didn't even come into play. He ended up dying a few months later from something completely different.
Oh, so he didn't get lynched.
Well, no, he didn't get lynched. But they said that he died because he received wounds while attempting to escape.
Mm.
So,
yeah, that's
probably foul play. But the image is still there today, but it's only visible from the outside. So you can't see it from the inside. But if you're outside, you can see it. In fact, there's even an arrow on the building pointing to it.
Oh, wow.
Did you
see a picture of it?
Yes.
And you could tell?
I think so. I mean, it might be a little up to your imagination, but the story goes that through the years, all of the other windows in the building have broken one way or the other, except for that one. That pane is still the original pane, but all the others have been replaced for various reasons.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's also been cleaned with every type of cleaner possible, but it always comes back. So, all right. So I told you that story only to tell you about a similar incident in Russellville, Kentucky. It's known as the Lightning Portrait of an Angry Bather. Now, this actually is fairly close to us. We could get there in 25 minutes.
No way. Did you say an angry bather?
Angry bather. This one's a little different because the window has been painted over since the 1920s to try to discourage gawkers. But it's a lower window of the Sexton House on the southern edge of town. Oh, and it sits right on the corner of the Maple Grove Cemetery. I'm sure that helped with the rumors. So here's the story. Basically, in the early 1900s, the caretaker's young daughter was told by the parents that she couldn't go to the dance. And she decided that she was going to go anyway. She was going to sneak out when her date got there, but he was running behind. So because of this raging thunderstorm, which was probably keeping him from running behind, she decided to take a bath and wait, you know, get cleaned up. And I guess she maybe thought he wouldn't come in is what it was. It wasn't that he was late. She just assumed he wouldn't come in.
Okay.
So she decides to take a bath.
Oh.
What do they tell you to do? What did your grandparents always tell you not to do during thunderstorms?
Take a daggone bath.
Or get on the phone.
Or get on the phone because lightning strikes and you're bzzz.
Anyways, she's up at the turret of the house and she's taking a bath. Some people say she was supposedly cursed by God because she was going to disobey her parents and she's up there in the nude, blah, 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 whatever. Anyway.
What's she supposed to do? Take a bath with her clothes on?
I don't know. Anyway, this big lightning strike happened. And when it happened, she was struck and killed by the lightning, by the way.
Oh, she was?
Yeah, this wasn't just like flash. She was struck and killed by lightning. But when she did, her image was etched in the glass. By the 1920s, the story had spread that the house and the window had become a tourist attraction. So, you know, depending on the account that you listen to, because they differ on the etching, some say you could see a full nude body. Some say that it was just her face. Some say you could only see it in the daylight. Others say at night. Yet others say you can only see it during a thunderstorm. So this story now, because you got to realize, I mean, this was the 1920s. So we're 100 years ago on this story. After the family was long gone, the caretaker got tired of, like I said, unsuspecting visitors just showing up. And he got up one Sunday morning and he painted the window black. And today, the building is still there and the window's still black. And there's all kinds of different accounts of the story. But, almost everybody who had ever seen it has passed away now. Uh-huh. And even the elderly people that had seen it, they claimed it had seen it. You know, hey, we were kids and I remember, but I mean, who knows if it was just a folk tale or what was going on. But the caretaker at one point in time tried to get the paint off, was going to go ahead and just take it off because he thought, well, I probably should leave it up. But it was so much effort and there were so many different layers of paint through the years that he just couldn't get it off.
He just didn't do it. So we do not know why the boyfriend didn't show up.
No.
Dang it.
No. Or if the story's true to begin with. So, like many. That one's more the, could be, what do you call them? Folklore or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, that's our Kentucky stories.
Kentucky be crazy.
And I can't for the life of me remember, and I should have looked it up, where that third etching story is. But there is a third, and we covered it on that Shorts and Giggles, but because we covered all three of them, I remember.
Mm-hmm.
And also, when we covered the one in here, back then, it wasn't listed as Russellville, I don't think. It was listed as another town, and I can't think of the town. But when we're coming back from Gatlinburg, right before we get to Lexington, there's a sign that has that city name on it.
Uh-huh.
That I always knew it from.
Yeah.
But I can't think of that either. So much of my memory today. All right, guys.
Well, we're getting old, babe.
Yeah. We're going to take a quick break, and then we will be right back, and we'll listen to Wes Forsythe. All right. So just some quick housekeeping. Obviously, today was Bobby Mackey's. That was our last event of the year. Next year, we're working on some good ones. I know we're looking at July in Buffalo. We are looking at August in Detroit. What do we got going on in September? Anything? I don't know. October is New Orleans.
Yeah, I was going to say New Orleans.
September is Pigeon Forge.
Yeah, that's right.
With Tony Merkel of the Confessionals.
Yes.
So that'll be a cool show. All the other shows basically are going to have Rojo and Justin Rimmel.
Sounds
from
great.
Serious Circumstances. And I'm working on possibly April in Louisville. So we have a new venue in Louisville to try out. So that's what we're looking at for next year, and we're going to do the cruise. We'll be in July of 2024, leaving from New Orleans.
Yay.
I'm sorry, Galveston.
No, I was going to say, no, I think it's Galveston.
It's Galveston, mm-hmm. Leaving from Galveston. So, yeah, there's what we got in the works, and as I get stuff finalized, I'll get more details to you. Tracy, what we got going on over there?
All right, for iTunes, we have Mojo Lobster, Kay Cummins, AC Lawson 73, which I thought that was our buddy. But they live in Knoxville, so somebody totally different.
Yeah, we have a different AC Lawson.
I know. They live in Florida. Actually lived in Louisville.
Yeah, they lived in Louisville. Now they live in Florida.
Yeah, but I guess it's somebody different. And I am so going to screw this last name up, and I'm so sorry. Zaria Lothialian. Something like that. I'm so sorry, honey, for messing up your name. Thank you guys for your reviews. We appreciate y'all so much.
Absolutely. Okay, let's go ahead and listen to this story from Wes. I think you guys will like it. You get a little bit of behind the scenes on some convention type stuff. If you guys like going to conventions, he actually has been involved with Scarefest for years and years and years.
Yeah.
So he's got a lot of knowledge on this stuff. So you get a little behind the scenes, but we also get some cool paranormal stories as well.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect to your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Hey, guys. This is a long time in coming because I have Wes Forsythe from Scarefest Radio / Scarefest TV. And Wes, we had this set up probably about 3 years ago, and I dropped the ball and actually forgot the day that we had the interview.
For the record, twice that year. Twice.
Well, okay. Well, it took me several years. It took me several years to get the balls back up to ask you to come back on. We've made it work this time. So I'm excited about the first part. At least we're on together.
Absolutely. Glad to be here. I don't hold grudges. I'm an attention whore. You can't hold grudges and be an attention whore.
Well, I know I've talked to, I think I actually started talking to your wife before I started talking to you. And this was before we ever had a podcast. I mean, we've probably been Facebook friends for 10 years or so. And so this all just kind of came full circle, you know, once we got into the podcast and realized that you guys were all into this too. And we're going to talk a little bit about everything tonight because
I'm game.
I got two reasons for having you on. First of all, you are obviously have an affiliation with Scarefest, have been involved for a long time. And I want to talk to you about that because we will both be at Scarefest next weekend. Mm-hmm. So excited about that. But then the other thing is we are actually covering on this episode that you're going to be on the Ross Opera House in Cynthiana. And you're kind of the local expert in that area. So we're going to talk about a couple of different things that sure. involve you tonight. Let's start off with Scarefest. Tell me a little bit about your involvement with Scarefest. How long? What exactly do you do? Everything you could tell me.
I need to go back and look and see how long I've been there going in one form or another since the second one. So that'd be 2009. But I went one or two years is just when he bought a ticket, went in. Couple more years I went as a vendor to show off my ghost hunting stuff. But I had started podcasting. So I went in, my vendor stuff was, you know, promoting my podcast. And somewhere along the line, I got fairly good at it, but I was at Live Paranormal and I had launched a show on them called the Paranormal Icon, which it was basically a podcast about paranormal conventions and the guest and that type of stuff. And I had approached Patty and said, hey, I'm doing this show. Patty Starr, who at the time owned the Scarefest and started it all. I had asked her, I said, would you be interested in you or whoever sending me a guest to talk about the Scarefest once a month? And she said, yeah, that sounds like a great idea. So we did that. I did that for better part of a year. And then the next year, starting the next Scarefest, which I think would have been about the sixth or seventh year of Scarefest. We got together and we decided to start doing a weekly Scarefest radio podcast. She had liked what I'd done with it. She liked the way I treated my guests. I do it all for fun. So there is where Scarefest Radio was born. It just evolved out of another show. When the Griffiths bought it in on Scarefest 10, which was 5 years ago now, I guess, they one of the first things Brandon did was ask me, would you be interested or could we talk you into doing, is more accurate, the show as a video show? And at first I said, no. it's a lot harder to do. It takes a lot more bandwidth. It's, you know, and he wanted to build me a little studio in his Lexington office and everything. And I said, tell you what, okay, I will put together a studio here and I'll get the proper equipment to do it and the software to do it right. And from there, that's how I got into it. And then somewhere along the line, they found out that I knew how to do web design. So I started doing some of that for them. They found out I was I'd studied old school marketing. And no, I'm not always up on the current trends, but I do know some things at work, and I did study the early social media marketing. So I started doing a lot of their marketing for them, and then somewhere along the line, and the story is they made me their media director. And the way I got became media director is I showed up for what we call the walkthrough, which is the 2 days before the Scarefest, where you just come and you. It's a big staff meeting where we meet and find out what the floor looks like. And they walked up and handed me a pile of t-shirts and said, you're the media director. And But so, yeah, it I've evolved from being a volunteer into being one of the top four people working at the Scarefest. But that's pretty much my history with them. But yeah, I didn't realize how long it'd been until I had Patty Starr as a guest on the show a few weeks ago. And she started counting backwards. I said, oh my God, she remembers all this.
So let me ask you this. Obviously, Scarefest, is this the 14th year?
Officially, the 14th Scarefest. Okay. Now, we're still hesitant to count the COVID year. We did a cyber event. We did an online event. That's right. And it crashed and burned. I wish we could sugarcoat it, but no, it was trash. The servers went down. Everything that was difficult about it just magnified. Didn't have that many people interested in it. But so, yeah, that's the story on this. Is the 14th one, but we've been at it 15 years.
Awesome. Yeah, we came to our first one as a vendor 5 years ago. So, which was ironic because we had Robert Englund there then. And then this is our next year back, and Robert Englund just happens to be back this year. Talk about a few of the bigger name guests and the events you got coming up on this one.
Okay. Now I got my cheat sheet here because my memory, I've been at work all day, but of course, Robert Englund, and he's driving the show this year. There's no getting around it. The numbers are, we've already got record numbers, for pre-sales, but Lance Henriksen,
love him.
You remember him from the second Alien movie. He's coming, been in a lot of classic horror movies, including Pumpkinhead. Of course, Kane Hodder comes every year. I think he's about the only guy that's been there more years than I have. Robert Patrick, Terminator 2, the shiny one, the liquid metal one. He's coming. So, and that's the top of the what we'll call the headliners, if you will. But Terry Kaiser, Weekend at Bernie's, we've got him coming. We've got just Beverly Randolph from Return of the Living Dead. She's always a great guest. Dee Wallace is going to be there Friday and Saturday from Cujo. So we've got the classic horror covered. Now I don't want to mess up the boy's name because I don't know him that well, but from Stranger Things. Let's see here. I don't always have to watch the spelling on it, but you'd think I'd be able to find it quicker. We've got the gentleman on the, we'll call it, classic, when he stood and played the guitar on top of the mobile home.
Yes.
We've got the body double, the guitar double, the guy who actually was playing the guitar for that, for the cameras. We've got him coming this year. Aiden Fisher's coming, and he's going to actually play that song, Master of Puppets, I believe it was, and another song that he's famous for. He's going to be playing that every day at the con, and he also at the after parties. So, and you know, I got 65 guests. I could go through this all night.
Yeah, and that's what I love about it is it really is an event. It does bring some of the bigger names, and it's fantastic. I mean, let me ask you another question.
I want to point out one thing. This year was our turning point. We actually are turning away big name celebrities.
Wow.
Because we're just having, we don't want to cut the pie too thin. You know, if you get too many, then nobody makes any money. You know, there's not enough time in the weekend for everybody to get around and get all their autographs, but we've had celebrities, and I'll call them, you know, A-list, B-list celebrities, contact us and say, I'll buy my own plane ticket. It's we've become that much of a force in the industry.
Nice. What decision went into changing the dates? I know at one time it used to be in September. Now it's in October.
Boy, you're asking the good questions, the ones that actually have stories behind them. We always tried to keep it in the Halloween season. Usually sometime in September. I think one year we got as close as like the first weekend in November. But The year 2019. Okay, that was the year we had that one. 2020, the year that was lost. The Civic Center, the Convention Center, was going to undergo a major renovation, starting like the week after Lexington Comic and Toy Con. They basically told us, okay, now we're warning you, we're tearing the thing down, but we'll have it done in October. And as our second biggest convention, we want you all to come, and we can make it available to you the weekend before Halloween. That sounded great. I mean, it was worrisome, but they said, no, we got it. We've got it will be done by then. Well, then COVID hit that spring. And we were, our hearts were in our throats. Are we going to actually cancel this convention this year for COVID? And it had come down to we were 50-50. And I really think Brandon, being in the social services industry, was leaning towards canceling it. And then I think it was the, first of August, maybe the middle of August, the convention center, he got a phone call from him saying, well, we have to cancel your convention. We're not finished. And they weren't just not finished. The place didn't even have a roof. Right. I mean, it wasn't, oh, we need to do some more drywall. Some of the electric's not hooked up. No, this place was a disaster area. So, it took the pressure off of us, but it did, throw another kink into all the planning that had already went into that year. But then we came back after getting those dates that week before Halloween. We decided, hey, let's try those dates and see how they work out. They're pushing, Halloween a little bit closer than we normally do, the thriller parades that weekend, but let's give it a shot. And so we did it last year and we loved it. So that will be our dates going forward, is the week before Halloween.
What always threw us off, because I love to come to the event, but we always schedule a Bobby Mackey's event in October. And it's usually closer to Halloween, middle of the month. Like ours was actually this year. Again, we had it scheduled the same weekend as Scarefest. And it was early enough when I found out the dates of Scarefest that we changed our date. Otherwise, we were going to have 3 years in a row that we scheduled at the same time.
Right.
And we would have missed out. So that's why I knew that it stood out to me, is that, before we came one time on our 10th wedding anniversary is when we set up the first time. And I can remember that date most of the time. So that was into September.
It has its own challenges. Of course, the Thriller Parade is that weekend. And if people don't know what that is the country's largest Halloween parade. It was on Sunday. This year, they're moving it to Saturday. So it's another big thing going on in Lexington that weekend. But our biggest challenge is the genre we draw, and that's, of course, the paranormal and horror fans, tend to also like haunted houses. And many of them also like haunted houses so much, they work in them. And so a lot of our people that we, our go-to people, had to make a choice between us and their keeping their commitments up to their favorite haunt. Last year, we lost a few. This year, most of them have worked around it. So we'll have some of those back, but we always had, people from, Wicked World, they would send actors over for the weekend to dress up, be spooky, do crazy stunts. And this year, now they'll do it part of the day, but that night they got to be at work. They have to go to the haunt. So that's, but once again, we're working around it and it's still plenty of entertainment to go around.
All right. So I know most of our listeners right now are like, are we going to get to the paranormal stuff or not? That's, how listeners are. And I don't blame them. So let's get to the paranormal stuff. You started off in the paranormal field. And we covered tonight, one of our little mini stories that we covered was the Ross Opera House in Cynthiana. You live in Cynthiana. As I said at the beginning, you're kind of the resident expert there. And I was doing some research on the Ross Opera House, and one of the articles had mentioned I Hunt Ghosts, which was your paranormal group back in the day. So I thought, well, this works out perfect. I could talk to Wes about this. So tell me about the Ross Opera House. And you didn't hold any punches earlier. You said per square foot.
I don't think you can find a more haunted place in the state of Kentucky. I really don't. The ghosts are mostly friendly. There's one ghost, and okay, everybody, okay, here's my disclaimer. This is my own metaphysical bullshit. I can't prove any of this. There's one ghost there who basically, a male ghost who feels it's his job to watch over all the other girl ghosts. He's not aggressive, but he is grumpy. We call him the grumpy old man. But other than him, and occasionally, I haven't heard anybody encountering for several years, but a gentleman, committed a questionable suicide in one of the offices downstairs, as in most people don't think it was suicide, but they didn't prove that it wasn't suicide.
Right.
He was around the place quite a while. But I had not encountered him hardly at all that we knew of. And I mean, we had one EVP session that was pretty sure was him based on the answers. But the reports I've gotten of the last few years said that if he's there, he's very, very quiet now. But it's an old theater built in the 1850s, somewhere around in there, originally, the old part of the building. In the 1950s, they renovated and built on the newer part. The newer part of the building is 1950s. So it's still a classic old-style movie theater. And it has all that character, and it has all that history behind it. And it's got several reasonably happy ghosts that if you're nice to them will cooperate with you. That's just how I feel about it.
And you were telling me about one of the first couple of times you went out there. I think you had said something about if you have any clue what you're doing, you will definitely come out of there with plenty of evidence.
Yeah. If you're willing to relax and talk to the ghost like they're people, not doing you don't have to provoke or anything like that. Speak to them like they're little girls, because most of them are, and learn to be quiet, to listen for the answers, you will get EVP evidence. Photographic evidence, like any place else, I'm not sure they can be photographed when they want to be. So if you're at the right time, at the right place, you might get some video evidence, you might get some photographic evidence. But on the EVP scale, and this place is a theater, the walls are like 2 feet thick. You're not likely to get a lot of outside sound, with the exception, now about 2 a.m., if it's still there, there was a bar that sat across the street. And a lot of people thought that they had gotten some really great EVP evidence. I said, no, that's somebody cussing their husband out. I know that sound. The railroad is close. You'll get every now and then, what we always did when the train would go by, we'd say, everybody shut down. Do stop your recorders. This doesn't count. I don't care what you think you hear. It's a train. Drop it.
What do you think makes that place so special?
It's like a lot of your other great haunted places. It's a cliche. Railroad tracks close to it. The wiring in that place is an electrician's worst nightmare, because basically, it originally didn't have electricity, then it's been added over the years and re-added. So it does have some things like that. But now Cynthiana itself, I went on just a ghost walk one year with my tri-field meter. And our town, under certain atmospheric conditions, actually puts out its own EMF field. Now this, basically, the town is built on a limestone shelf. Ask the Department of Agriculture. 6 foot under the ground in Kentucky, there's limestone almost anywhere you go. So we got that. Underneath that, there is an underground river. Now, if you don't want to believe there's an underground river, ask the Ross Opera House how their air conditioning works. They pump water down into the ground and bring, or not water, air down into the ground all the way to the river, and it comes up cold.
Wow.
It's just got all the things that people always said, enhances paranormal activity. Then you throw in the history. It's a happy place. If I can imagine a ghost, if you believe the theory that when we pass away, we often seek out the time in life that we were happiest, I can imagine a lot of people finding that to be their happy place.
Now, obviously, the big one there is the woman in white. That's the one everybody claims to see. Is there any clue as to who that might be?
That's the most famous one. But honestly, that's not the one most people claim to see. It's the one that stands out the most. So when somebody sees it, you know, they freak out, and it's very, very memorable. But I've talked to Roger about it, and we've had some theories over the years about, you know, but in other words, yeah, we could take guesses, but we've never gotten a solid hook on who it is. Now, on the little girl ghost, and we're not even sure the lady in white isn't just one of our little girl ghosts. In other words, one of them might appear when they're able to be seen as a lady in white, because one of them presents herself as a teenager. Now, I do want to give you my own paranormal theory here, that I don't believe that every little child ghost you encounter is, in fact, a child. But I do think it goes back to that if that's when they were happiest, you know, they can kind of move to that position in life, present themselves that way. And that's based on their memory. It's been called holograms and everything else. But there are three regular young ghosts, and one of them presents herself as very young, little girl. Probably our best guess was 5, 6, 7 years old. One presents herself as an early teenager, somewhere between 10 and 13 years old. And then the third one does present herself as a full blown teenager, probably 15 to 18. And that's one we suspect people interpret as the lady in white. The cool thing about it from our standpoint is we know all three of their names, and as in we got it on tape, and then when you call them out by name, they're more likely to talk to you. And so, but now if I'm right, and that one, the lady in white, is that third one, or the, even if they're not, the girl, or the lady, the name that we got for the third one, we've been able to historically research, and that name was somebody very closely tied to the theater. But they died at a ripe old age of like 70 or 80. Once again, goes back to my whole thing, but that's what they wanted to be. That was their memories.
You had mentioned something earlier about an EVP that was crystal clear. There was no mistaking. Could you talk about that one?
Okay, now technically, I guess this is a disembodied voice, but we had used a ShyCac. Yeah, that's what they call the scanning radio thing. And the first time I used it, I was a skeptic of it. Now, believe it or not, I thought they didn't work. I just don't think they work as often as people think they do. But we did a session with one. And we ask the girls to tell us their names. And what we would do is, if anybody in the room, and there was 5 or 6 of us maybe, heard a name, they would shout it out, and then we would verify it with the dowsing rods. Once again, not exactly scientific, but it did give us something to go on. We got the littlest girl's name. We got the older girl's name. But the one in the middle, we just could not get. And I finally told Brad to shut up. You're just guessing now. You're not even listening to what's going on. But when I came home and listened to the audio from that session, the name popped out. And I said, well, wow, that was clear. Why didn't we hear it? So I went back, and the next investigation, I pulled out the ShyCac and I said, okay, I think you said your name was Loretta. If it was, I want you to say it again. And now we didn't hear it. There was 5 of us, I think, all on camera, sitting around staring at this stupid little ghost box ShyCac thing. And we did not hear it. But the camera and the digital recorder laying next to the ShyCac picked it up clear as day. And I don't mean no kind, you know, did that say Anna? No, it was like she was saying it to make a point. And so we figured out. And now we call her by her name, Loretta, and she's friendly and helps us out. But that's that was my best ever audio. I can show that. That's kind of evidence. I said it's my best because I can play that back for a skeptic, not a cynic. A cynic doesn't believe anything you bring up. But if I play that back for a skeptic, it falls into that category of, well, you had to fake it. There's no misinterpretation. There's nothing, you know, along that. The best one I ever got, though, Carolyn Doherty, who I adore and love, a great ghost hunter, big time skeptic, though. She said, well, how do I know you didn't project that into the device with your mind? And I'm like, prove that and I'll go home. That's cool. That's as cool as finding a ghost that I can make radios talk. So, yeah.
So last year at Scarefest, you were running around in a bunny outfit for at least one of the days. What yes. prompted that?
My odd sense of humor. I want to do cosplay, but I didn't want to do the same thing all 3 days. Now, I'd created for the show, YouTube show, I'd created the Tomb Attendant, which is a cheap ripoff of the Crypt Keeper. That's what I did on Friday because I wanted to do, I thought it'd be so cool to do the voice for the black carpet event, but I found out that also ruins your voice for the rest of the weekend. So I'm not going to do that part of it this year. But one day I was wanting a costume. I was trying to think of what cosplay would be great to do for Easter. I said, well, Easter, you know, it's gotta be a rabbit. It's gotta be rabbit based. And then things started falling together in my mind where I went from, okay, it's a rabbit. Jackrabbit. Jack Sparrow was a pirate. I made it Jack Rabbit the pirate. So I became Captain Jackrabbit the pirate. And that's where that came from.
Well, it was impressive to say the least.
He will be back this year.
I can't wait for that. So I was speaking of the Crypt Keeper, you actually had him on your show a couple weeks ago.
Yes, he's actually come on twice. He enjoys doing the show. We've had him on twice this year. We had him on early in the season, and he wanted to come on closer to Scarefest to promote it more. And the problem is, nobybody told me he was coming on.
I remember seeing that because I saw, hey, we're doing this tonight because I think you had just got back from a trip or something, but you were like, we're just going to cover some of the guests. And then the next thing I saw, hey, we got special guest. I think John Kassir, is it his name?
The day of the show, I was doing a throwaway show. Towards Scarefest, we try to drill things into people's heads, news events, that kind of stuff that's going on about Scarefest. And I'd already put out the artwork on the show and said, this is what we're doing. Well, then I can email from him saying, hey, Nicole gave me this date. I'm supposed to do your show tonight. I went, oh, good. Because I'm not going to tell him no, you know. I said, hey, let's make a gimmick out of this. I screwed up. I took credit for it. It was overwritten on the calendar for the show. So what I did was I said, you know what? I wonder how people would react to you being the co-host. In other words, you're not even the subject of the show. And it actually made for a very good show. I think it made him work harder. We talked about the Scarefest and stuff that was going on, but he would throw in his own anecdotes and all this stuff and take it. In other words, it wasn't all about him. And it made for, I thought, a very funny and very interesting show. And it was because then he was off his normal, what he talks about when he does interviews. He had to reach a little farther to fit things in. And I think it just absolutely went great.
Yeah, I thought it was a great show. Well, I tell you what, Wes, it's been a long time coming, but I thought it was a very fun episode. And I'm excited to be able to hook up with you guys here in, 10, 11 days at Scarefest. Tell everybody how they can keep up with the actual Scarefest convention, how they get tickets and stuff, and then follow up with how they can keep up with your show.
Sure. Of course, the main Scarefest website, scarefestweekend.com. Now, if you're the type of person that just likes to get your news straightforward, keep up with that. We update it as events unfold, but it always has your current guest list, scarefestweekend.com. Now, if you're the type of person that likes the community aspect of it, look us up on Facebook. Just look for The Scarefest, like our page, join our fan group. The fan group is tremendously active. Yep. Although, now, I will say some people do like to post the same question over and over and over. Just saying. But we've got the fan group. Now, as far as the YouTube show, that's every Friday night. Now, liking that page or following that page, we do a simulcast where it goes out on three different Facebook pages. It goes out on YouTube. It goes out on Twitter. Not hard to find. But, you can, our website is scarefestradio.com. We archive stuff there, and there is a live feed there. But on the archive, I am so far behind because I've been doing other Scarefest stuff. It's a few episodes behind. Might be easier to find the older one, the newer ones on Facebook. But the fan group, the Scarefest fan group, is the best way probably to keep up with everything convention related.
All right, brother. Wes, I love you. Glad to have you on the show. Can't wait to see you in about 10, 11 days, and we'll have a fun weekend.
I hope I have fun.
You do tend to run around like a chicken with your head cut off during that whole
last year, I could not believe how many trips I made across. We have the film festival across the street at Lakes Live, and I must have made 50 trips down that block to go to that theater to make sure the film festival was going okay. I'm going to try to pull back on that a little bit, but during the convention, my job is to make sure everything starts on time. Make sure that the entertainers are where they should be, seminars are where they should be, panels, speakers, all that. I'm not in charge of making it happen, but I'm in charge of making sure it happens. And so, yeah, I do. I spend a lot more time just running around the floor than I do at my booth. But after hours, I am the grab a cocktail, relax, and have a good time kind of guy.
Well, I wouldn't expect anything less. All right, brother, I'll see you soon.
Thank you very much.
All right, guys, that wraps it up for us this week. Thank you so much for everything you do. We appreciate it, and we'll see you soon.
We love you guys. We hope you all have a blessed week.
Come see us at Scarefest in Lexington next week. We'll be there Friday night, all day Saturday, and all day Sunday.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free to play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news. It doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date, it notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores. You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once, a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores. Think about the last time you had a cancel subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores. You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Think about the last time you had a cancel subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.